Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of 1 John chapter 4, we taught that when we see a fallen brother, we should endeavor to do all that we can to lift him back up. Let's continue with that thought today. Should I look down upon others for whom Christ died and perhaps they are saved, they've been forgiven, their penalty is under the blood? Now, that's not holy, that's not valorous, nor virtuous, nor is it performance leadership in righteousness. It is not holy. If I have the attitude of being holier than thou, then I've got a problem. Now, sometimes people say, well, Pastor, you think you are never wrong. Well, if so, if that's the way I think, then I would not need to ask forgiveness on a daily basis as I do. Now, sometimes when people say that, when they make a statement like, well, you think you do nothing wrong, I almost want to say back to them, well, my daddy can beat up your daddy, you know, just because it's so juvenile when they get to that point. Just understand that so often we do get a self-righteous attitude. Realize that you can fall into any sin. You can fall to any sin. You try to stand on your own instead of in the power and the strength of Christ, then you can fall, but also understand that if you start getting a holier-than-thou attitude, you're going away from those things. Now, we don't condone sin. We don't condone anything that's wrong. But on the other hand, we don't get a holier-than-thou attitude because that is also sin. That is also wrapped up in self-righteousness. What we need to think about is, how did he love us? Because that is how we're to love others, to love one another in Christ. If we see a fallen brother, should we not seek to lift him up, as did Jesus? In John 21, you remember that? Three times Peter had denied him. Now Jesus comes back, and he not only says, Peter, do you love me three times? But he says, feed my sheep. Peter, okay, you can serve me. You can be a man of God. Now, people say, why was Peter grieved the third time? Well, the Greek, the first two times, it says, do you love me? And Peter would say, yea, Lord, you know I love you. But the word love there that Peter answered is philia, or friendship love, not agape, is what Christ asked. Second time, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter answered again, Lord, you know I philia you. The third time, Jesus said, Peter, do you filio me? Oh, that's why Peter was grieved. Now the Lord was questioning his friendship love. But in that he had denied Christ three times, now he's opening the door to show his true repentance. Because if you love me, then you won't be ashamed of me. And you'll stand up and you'll speak for me. And you'll speak to your brothers in Christ of him. Now, we should not gossip and spread evil reports, especially if we have not checked with the person of whom the evil report is made to ask them, is it true? For example, somebody says, when so-and-so was having adultery with somebody, so-and-so was doing this with someone. Now, I've sat in the pastor's seat, of course, for many years now, and I've had people say, so-and-so is running around. I said, you know that for a fact. Well, that's pretty well the gossip. So I have got to a point where I've called in that so-and-so they're talking about and just say, you've been accused to me of having run down. I'm asking, is it true? And I've had them deny it, but be so upset that I asked them that they left. But, and in one of those cases, it turned out it was true, even though they had denied it. In another case, there was a person that, when I confronted him about something of that nature, he said, yes, sir, I did. I've repented. Now, in both those cases, there was something with which to confront people. Instead of going around telling other people about it, we confronted him directly. We had churched a man that went to prison over some sexual sin. He got out of prison. He wanted forgiveness. I didn't talk to the deacons, didn't talk to anybody else, talked to him, repent, and I told him, I says, now you'll have to come before the church. You'll have to admit you were wrong, that you did do this thing, and that you don't have anything to offer but to ask for forgiveness. You know that man did? He did. Now, he messed up in the same kind of sin again later and ended up in prison again. But I thought it was interesting that because we went, did God's will God's way, God worked it out there. Now, the sin of a busybody is basically murder. The sower of discord, gossip. They are, and by the way, the Bible doesn't say gossip, but it does say busybody, it does say sower of discord. And usually that's what a gossip does. The word gossip doesn't appear in the Bible, but the action does. But I find it's interesting that homosexuality, that most people say, boy, that is an abomination to God, don't realize the same Hebrew word for abomination on homosexuality is the same Hebrew word used for God finding sowing discord in a busybody an abomination. So God places that sin on the level of homosexuality. Is that where you are? One of the things I do not like about being on a couple boards and being on and having a deacon board, I'm the pastor, but having a deacon board, sometimes we've got to talk about individuals and perhaps some sin or some evil and some things like that. And you say, well, isn't that gossip? Well, once it's proven and we know that's it, we've got to make decisions on what to do. And yet there's no joy. There is no joy. And I think if anybody finds joy in talking about somebody, run somebody down, and or doing something because they have done a sin to them, and there's a joy in that for them, they're the ones with the problem. And so again, as you gossip, and you continue to talk, you build a testimony for being a gossip. So again, I would ask that if you think of these things and you think through these things, that you really step back and just say, is that love? Is that love? And you're not willing to confront a person of whom an evil report is made to ask if it's true, then there's a problem. Now, I haven't, at different times, I haven't always done this, but at different times in ministry, people come in and tell me about somebody. And I'll say, well, you won't mind me going to them and using your name, will you? Tell them that you said this, told me about this. Well, then they'll say, oh, no, no, don't do that. And then I let them know I'm not going to do anything. I had one some time ago come into me. I'd already knew they had three witnesses. Now, I knew of two of them. I knew that their witnesses were false because I had already been hearing some rumblings, and I checked it out. Just check it out. And so when the person came to me, I said, well, I'll do this. They said, would you do church discipline? I said, oh, yeah, I'd definitely do it. But now when you bring the witnesses in, I want you to understand, I'm going to do the background and all that and make sure these witnesses, so people know that the witnesses, whether they're people that are honest and straightforward or if they're liars. or if they're wicked, if they're living in adulterous lives or whatever. You know, they backed out. We're not going to do that. And even though the Bible told of false witnesses on not only Jesus, but others, they didn't think that a false witness should be identified as being a false witness. I've never understood that. That tells me they were out for blood, out for a pound of flesh, not out to make something good and right before God. Seems like I've had that happen a couple of times in ministry, and each time it reveals that's not what the person was out to do. Now, also I want you to see, as Jesus Christ, when somebody does repent, we ought to be the first to welcome them back if they repent and help them restart in their new rededication, hoping to keep them from falling again into their sin. Now look, if somebody got arrested for thievery and they do some time to come back and they want forgiveness, forgive them and restore them completely, but don't put them in the counting the money or the treasury. Don't put the thing that brought them down as that in front of their face again. Just don't do that. Be wise about it. If you have somebody that got arrested for sexual sin, maybe something with an older gentleman touching a young lady or a young boy, then he got arrested. Hey, look, don't put him working with children. But he can come to church. And he can even be at the point where he is serving God. But you see, there's some people that there is no forgiveness in their heart. And so they would probably then think Jesus is wrong, because in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, when he said, such were some of you, he's talking about adulterers and homosexuals there. He even mentions them. And so you see that in the sexual predators, they're all mentioned there. And that just tells me that there are people that just have certain things in their mind that they're not willing to go along with God on those things, and yet they'll feel completely self-righteous in taking that stand. But again, you heard me say it, be the welcome them back if he or she repents. If. Not just saying, oh, well, hey, look, you just got to forgive them. And there's no repentance, there's no confession, there's no apology. Oh, no. Then something has to, you don't just grant them for the forgiveness, but you do have it in your heart, hoping they will repent. Now, we find that Scriptures back this premise. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, we read this, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.com. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.